Hallelujah. Well, you know, we live in an interesting time, don't we? I believe that the end of the ages are coming upon us. Things are coming that have been talked about in the Word of God, and that we are even seen in the midst of, and we are in the midst of it. And I think we won't turn over there, but I was just in teaching class today, talking and thinking about Revelation 12:12, that Satan has come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Amen. How many of you know Satan hates you? Yeah, he does. The devil hates you. And I want us to go to Luke chapter 21 today. I want the title of this message, if you will give it a title, is Possessing Your Soul in Perilous Times. Possessing your soul in perilous times. Here in Luke chapter 21, I'm going to start reading verse 19, and then I want to go back and talk a little bit about this. But Luke chapter 21, verse 19 says, "In your patience, possess your souls." In your patience, possess your souls. We'll talk more about it, but patience is not just putting up with it till it's over. It is consistency and endurance in the midst of whatever's going on. In your patience, you know, in Luke 21, Jesus isn't having just a casual conversation with his disciples. He's giving out some prophetic instruction here, and he describes, if you look back, look at verse 9, he says, "But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he to them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." It looks like, you know, wars, commotions, upheaval taking place. Then he gets dropped down again to verse 16. It says, "And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated for all men for my name's sake." Pressure, not just outwardly, but inward pressure. And then he gets to verse 19, and I want you to notice, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. In your patience, possess your souls. Well, what is our soul? Well, our soul is made up of our mind. How many of you know you got to take control of your thought life? Amen. You know, so many things going on in our society, in the world today. Now, you realize the world's not going to get more like God. In fact, it's going away from God. The best example I know of that is just like a river gets less and less like its source the further it flows away from it. The world is going away from God and looks less and less like God who created it as time goes on. But thank God, you know, we've kind of turned our boat around. We're headed back up towards the source, going upstream, and people aren't happy. Where are you going? Why are they doing that? Why are you going that way? He even said there, he said, "You'll be hated for all men, be hated of all men for my name's sake." Because of Jesus, you're going to be hated. But he tells us something powerful. Here's something that we need to understand. We may not be able to control the persecution, but we are expected to control our soul, our thoughts. The other part of that is our emotions. You know, these are God-given. God gave us a mind, praise the Lord. He gave us emotions, but we're not to be ruled by our emotions. We're not to let our emotions just, are you familiar with the term, run amok? In other words, just go whichever way they want to and just, you know, just carry us away. We're not to let our emotions do that to us. All right? He says there, to possess your soul. What's it mean to possess? Well, that's where I take ownership of it. What I'm thinking and how I'm feeling about it emotionally is totally up to me. It's totally up to me. It's not, you know, it doesn't matter what is happening. He listed all those things that are happening. Some of them are outward things. Some of them are inward things. And, you know, we're living in a time. We'll look at some things. But, you know, there's been several nations that are putting laws on their books. They've been working on them, putting laws on their book, trying to restrict the church. I have to stay up on it because it really affects our Bible schools different places. Some nations putting in anti-conversion laws. Some nations saying now that if your Bible school or your NGO, which is like a non-for-profit church organization, is financed by outside foreign funds, that they're going to be able to come in and seize everything you have and shut you down because it's outside interference. It's not going to get easier for the church in the world we're living in today, in the end times, and for Christians. It's not, the world's not going to take any time off. The devil is ramping it up because he knows his time is short. Amen. His time's short to what? Lake of fire. For eternity. We know his end, right? We know the end of it. But we're to possess it. We're to think of it this way. I am to control and take authority over my soul. Over my thought life. Over all of my emotions. And so I have to control that. I have to control my thought. I have to control my reasonings. You know, if you're not careful, you know, you watch the news or you listen to certain things. I thought Pastor Denise did an outstanding job Sunday talking about these things. You know, there's a lot of things out there to distract us these days. But there's a lot of, you know, you'll listen to things and you might even be in agreement with it, but it's everybody is trying to condition you to think a certain way. And if you don't stop and say, now, wait a minute, God, how am I supposed to think about this? And go to the Word of God, then I'm not controlling my thoughts. I'm not controlling my reasonings. My will, I need to control my decisions and my choices. It's totally up to me. You know what? Everybody makes their own choices. Now, I know people that, you know, people like to put it off on things. And, you know, bless Flip Wilson's heart, Geraldine, the devil didn't make you do it. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You're not old enough. But, you know, the devil didn't make you do it. You had to choose to do it. Amen. We have to take control of that. And then, of course, our feelings and our reactions. Look over in 3 John chapter 1. This is a familiar verse. 3 John, the third epistle of John. So Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Short book, just one chapter there. Let's look at verse number 2. Beloved, and if you've read the Bible, you understand the Bible says we've been accepted in the Beloved. So he's talking to you and I. I wish above all things. I've got a note in my Bible by the word wish, and it says down here, or pray. I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Even as. So, that tells me this. My life will not rise above the condition of my soul. The condition of the soul. And he said we are to possess our souls. Be in control of our souls. Even in the midst of turmoil. Even in the midst of persecution. Even in the midst of being hated just because you're a Christian. We are to possess our souls. Look what Jesus said about this in John chapter 15. I'm going to read this from the King James Bible, then I want to read it from the Passion Bible. John, the 15th chapter. We'll start in verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. I'll read it from the King James here first. And now, if I take the these and thous out, you can still understand it, right? All right, verse 17. Now, this is vital. I wasn't going to include this at first, but then really this is one of the keys here. He says, these things I command you. Now, is this a suggestion? Is this a good idea? Well, you could say it's a good idea, but this is a command. A command. Now, a command, when God gives us a command, there's no discussion. There's no discussion. There's no, if you will, arguing with God. I know a lot of people, you know, you tell them what the Bible says and they say, well, yeah, but. No, you're arguing with God. Some people think they're arguing with you. No, they're not arguing with you. I just said what the Bible said about it. Amen. Don't argue with God. He said, I give you this command. So there's no option on this, that you love one another. Now, in relationship to what we're talking about here about possessing our souls, every decision then, every time I take control of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions, and I do it in a godly manner, it's going to lead me to love people. Amen. You know, and if I'll talk about me, I won't talk about you. You know, there's some people that I don't want to love. Nobody in here. Nobody in here. But those people who just hate me because I'm a Christian. You say, well, I don't know anybody. Well, you know, we live in a pretty nice place here. A lot of Christians around here. But you just get outside of the bubble. Amen. People that just don't, they hate you because you're a Christian. All right? If you haven't experienced that, you haven't been on social media very much. The hatred, that's spewed on there all the time. But look at verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't ever forget that. See, there's some, I don't know, sometimes it amazes me that Christians, a lot of Christians don't understand that. Well, I just don't know why. The world hates you because Satan is the god of this world, the little g god of this world. And this world system is anti-God, or we could say anti-Christ. John said that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. All right, let's keep reading. He said, but if you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord or his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. Now, you know, it's interesting to study persecution. You know, the Bible talks about if you start prospering, you receive 100-fold with persecution. You know, you don't have to believe for the persecution. It's just going to come. Now, I don't know anybody's believing for persecution, but you understand? Notice he said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He just came and said what God's word said about it, and it uncovered their wrong life. And they hated him for it. He that hates me hates my Father also. You know, think about, remember when Jesus stopped Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, Saul wasn't thinking he was persecuting God at all. He thought he was persecuting these Christians. And he was proud of it. I mean, he was zealous. He was putting some to death. He was arresting others. And he said, Jesus took it personal. Why? It's because of our relationship with him that we are persecuted. All right, verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But, glory to God for the word but. Woo! There's an answer. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from my Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. Now listen to this out of the Passion, and this helps us a little bit, unravels a little bit of this, I think. Starting in verse 17, this is my parting command, love one another deeply. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love you and would welcome you as one of their own. Look at this. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. So remember that what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master, And since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will also obey yours. They will treat you this way because you are mine, and they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would feel no guilt of their sin. They would not feel the guilt of their sin. But now their sin is left uncovered. If anyone hates me, they hate my Father also. If I had not performed miracles in their presence like no one else had done, they would not feel the guilt of their sins. See, sometimes we think, well, all the world, they just need to see miracles. They saw miracles and they hated him for it. You remember when he healed, a couple of people got healed on the Sabbath day. Oh, they were mad. And these were religious people. But they were of the world because they didn't know his Father who sent him. Now, here's the thing. You can be in church. You can even be a minister. Now, not a rhema one, but you know what I'm saying. And not even know God. Amen. But he said, look what he says this, verse 26. I like this. But I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, emanating from the Father. He will speak to you about me, and you will tell everyone the truth about me, for you have walked with me from the start. So in your patience, possess your souls. You know, patience, as we said, is not just waiting passively. It's not just, oh, just put up with it. Well, just put up a little bit more. No, that's not patience. It's not being weak and tolerant. Hello. I use that word on purpose. It's not being weak and tolerant. Biblical patience is spiritual endurance with the added element of steadfast faith. Let me say that again. Biblical patience is spiritual endurance with the added element of steadfast faith. Look over at James chapter 1. This is a spiritual force. Aren't you glad the weapons of our warfare are not natural? They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't wrestle in the natural. We don't war against the devil in the natural. We have spiritual weaponry. Here in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he's talking about during temptation, knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience, what's that? Let spiritual endurance with the element of steadfast faith have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, notice this, wanting nothing. Glory to God. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of the world hating us, we can live a life of wanting nothing. But we're not going to do it outside of patience. We have to possess our souls. Patience is produced, evidently, and is strengthened when our faith is tried. And then when we let patience run its course, then we are complete and mature. Think about this. Without patience, faith never finishes its work. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Here's another witness of that. Patience, spiritual endurance, steadfast faith. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What's he mean? Well, you've done what God said. Now, what do we do? We operate in spiritual endurance and steadfast faith. What's that? I cannot be moved. I will not be moved. Because I've acted on the Word of God. The Word of God said this. I've acted on it. And I'm going to stay steadfast, immovable. Well, in order to do that, you're going to have to take control and possess your thought life and take control and possess your emotions. The emotional aspect of it, I think we've kind of let that off, but we need to renew our emotions just as much as we need to renew our mind. Because your emotions will affect what you think. See, we don't receive just because we started in faith. We receive because we continue in patience, possessing our souls. So let's talk about this practically. Now, what are we going to do? Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Now, you know, when we talk about patience, people don't jump up and run and shout, you know. But I'd rather possess my soul in the midst of all this persecution and hatred that's coming our way. And it's just going to get worse, folks. Listen to me. It's just going to get worse. And it amazes me, some of the people that now are I don't even know how they could even call themselves Christians. They want to get up and quote the Bible and say the Bible says it's okay to do this, and the Bible this, and the Bible that. I mean, you are operating by, that's a lie. I mean, just because someone quotes Scripture, I mean, the devil quoted Scripture to Jesus. You cannot say God allows something that he says he doesn't allow and say you're a Christian. Come on now. Amen. Isaiah 26, look at verse 3. Thou, or you, he's talking about the Father, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. See, one of the things that patience does is it keeps our thoughts anchored. It anchors us. See, patience refuses to panic. Now, I didn't say that panic wasn't real. I didn't say that these things aren't real. I'm not saying we deny that. But, you know, when you are operating in biblical patience, possessing your soul, then there's no room for panic, because you know that God said, that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in Hebrews 13, when it says that, he goes on to say, you know, he said, we can boldly say, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, that I won't fear any man, what man can do to me. Glory to God. That's not all in Hebrews. I put a couple scriptures there together. All right. Patience is the strength of our will. When you have patience, you don't quit under pressure. And this is a big one here. When I'm operating in patience, I don't change my confession. I keep saying what God says about the situation. Remember, I've talked to you about how at times, but if you haven't heard this, you know, I'm looking at that clock back there, and every second, the fact of what time it is changes. Now, you could take it out less than, you know, shorter time periods than seconds, but why? But every second, the fact of what time it is changes. It's not lying to me. It's telling me the fact of what time it is. So facts inherently are subject to change. They can change. They are changing all the time. Amen. But truth is something that's consistent. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord told me this years ago, and trying to help people, said, he gave me this phrase, the consistent application of the truth will change the facts. But you have to be consistent. And in order to be consistent, you have to do what? You have to have patience. Stay with what God said. Now, when you have patience, you know, our emotions may rise and fall, but they don't rule us. We feel pressure, but we're not going to yield to it. Have any of you ever driven a vehicle that had a governor on the engine? Right? You know, you could rev that engine up, but it's only going so fast. Right? You know, I know in a lot of the public transportation there in East Africa, when I'm over in Kenya, we're riding in what we would call vans, you know, they call matatus. We're riding in there. A lot of them that work for companies, they'll put governors on them, and that thing, they'll get up and start beeping at them. You know, and now they've got enough, they track them, and they get penalized if they go over the speed limit. Not by the government, but by their company. And so they're governing themselves. The governor keeps the engine sometimes also from blowing apart. Well, patience will keep you and your engine from blowing apart, life being blown apart. I think the greatest example of this is Jesus himself. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, remember, he prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But he's yielding himself. He's possessing his soul by yielding to the will of God. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, hang on a second. When he's there sweating blood under the stress of what is about to happen to him, and it wasn't just dying physically. How many of you know a lot of people had died physically for their faith? But he was about to become sin for us. He was about to bear our sin on the cross. Under that, don't tell me that he wasn't having a struggle there, because he said, if it's possible. His emotions were under pressure, but his will was submitted, and he stayed aligned with the Father. It says here, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus remained faithful to God, and he remained steadfast, spiritually steadfast, with the element of steadfast faith. You can see it in what he did. All right? So the battlefield, then, where we're going to deal with all this stuff, all these things, persecution, you know, they that live godly, you know, in Christ, they're going to suffer persecution. The Bible talks about it. I was amazed how many scriptures there were in the New Testament about persecution. Okay? And about how many times Jesus talked about the world's going to hate you because they hate me. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be taken off guard. Okay? We shouldn't get all worked up about it. You know what I mean by that? Really, that's letting our emotions, you know, and just feeling, oh, that's so, I just don't know. I just want everybody to love me. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Okay? It's not. And if you are experienced in life as I am, and meaning how old I am, if you've lived this many years, you're going to find that out. Right? You look like Pastor Bill, so many more months older than me. He thought I was going to say years. Everybody thought I was going to say years, didn't you? But just months. No, you know what I'm saying. All right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Persecution comes at us. The devil brings it our way to move us in our thinking, to agitate us in our emotions. In the sower, in the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about the persecution comes to steal the word that's sown in our hearts. Think about this. If the enemy can affect our soul, he can interrupt our faith. But how are we going to develop faith? Let's talk about that here real quickly. First of all, Romans 15:4. Turn over to Romans 15:4. Jesus already told us that it's in patience, possessing our souls, that we're going to deal with all these things. And as I said, you know, we need to be wise enough. We need to know the times that we're living in and realize that this world is not all of a sudden just going to fall in love with you. The world system's not, because the devil is the head of it. How many of you, have you ever heard this statement? The characteristics of a kingdom emanate from the king. So who's ever in charge of something, you know, you see that in businesses. You know, I know sometimes there's some places that we've gone before to eat, and then you go back later on, and it's like, what happened here? Something happened here. And you find, you know, just ask a little question. They had a change in management, and it's changed for the worse because the management's not as attention to details. They're not service-minded like they were before. It's just not, and eventually, you know, some of those places, they don't even exist anymore. Okay? Here in Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." What is it that's going to fuel our patience, our spiritual endurance, and steadfastness of faith? It's going to be the Word of God. Now, we know that. We know that. We know it's the Word. "Let God be true and every man a liar," Romans 3:4 says. Let God be true. What does the Word say about it? We've heard that over and over and over here at this ministry and in this church. What does God's Word say about it? And we go to God's Word. And no matter what it is, we're going to stay in the Word of God. We're going to stay there consistently. And we're going to maintain what we're saying about it. We don't speak what we feel. We speak what God said. Now, I realize, you know, this is, you know, if I go back to 1980 when I first got saved and spirit-filled and really, I thank God I cut my teeth on the teachings here of this ministry and the books that were available, but learning how to, you know, about the importance of words and that. But, you know, it was, people gave it a lot of attention back in the day. They, you know, if they were watching their words, and boy, they would correct your words. If you said anything, you know, they just jump right down your throat, you know, just correcting your confession. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that, but we need to be strict on ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Ask yourself, have I let my tongue get loose? What do I mean loose? I didn't say you were cussing or swearing, saying bad. I'm saying you're talking different than what the Word of God says. You're talking about what you have instead of calling things to be not as though they were. Your confession. Okay? All right? So we're to stay in the Word. We're to maintain our right confession. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Look at that, long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith. But long-suffering, the idea, patience. Think about this. I don't have to work up patience. It's already in me. The patience that you need is already in you. You just have to let it possess your soul. And then here's the other thing that patience it does. Patience keeps the long view. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm all in. I'm not quitting just because it looks like it, because I feel like I'm not. I want to. That was one thing, you know, we did with our kids. You know, sometimes they wanted to be involved in stuff growing up, but we said, okay, if you start, you're going to finish. Now, you don't have to do it. We're not forcing you. But if you start this, you're going to finish it. At least you're going to finish out this season, whatever it is. Why? Because, you know, we got to be like Pastor Hagin. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Amen. He said that so many times. Sometimes you think there's a scripture that says, there's no scripture that says that. But that's a good way to live. Don't quit. Hold on to the promise. Now listen, you may not. I remember, how many of you ever used to watch Brother Fred Price when his television show back in the day, and he had that song, Evidence. Evidence. Is there enough evidence in your life that they could put you in prison for being a Christian? Well, we may not face that, but we are going to face cultural hostility. We are going to face pressure to compromise the truth. We are going to be under mental and emotional strain to let go of our faith. But Jesus already gave us the strategy: in your patience, possess your souls. When pressure comes, what's that mean? When pressure comes, you're going to stay steady. When emotions rise, you're going to stay governed. When thoughts race, you're going to stay anchored. Glory to God. So find the scriptures that speak to your situation. Speak them daily. Declare it over yourself and refuse to let your emotions overrule what the Word of God has to say. Amen? In your patience, possess your souls. Glory to God. Let's all stand up together, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you tonight for your Word. We thank you, Father God, that your Word is truth, and we can base our life on it. Father, thank you that we already have within us, because it is of your nature, by the Spirit of God, we have patience. It's a spiritual force on the inside of us. Teach each and every one of us, Father God. Father, I pray that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of how to possess our souls in patience. Father, we just thank you for it and we praise you for it. And Father, I declare for everybody, we're not going anywhere. We're staying strong with you. Hallelujah. No matter what comes our way, we're all in, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we're going to stay steady, steadfast spiritually, steadfast in our faith. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our prayer teams are down here. The men on my left, the ladies on my right. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down with them. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God, because that's where answers come from, right? The Word of God. Amen. Tell somebody you love them tonight before you leave. Amen. And we'll see you back here on a Sunday morning. Amen.